You're listening to SBS News.
Celebrities, politicians and journalists flocked to social media last week to react to the suspension of US President Donald Trump's Twitter account. One of Mr. Trump's former political aides, Omarosa Newman, tweeted that it would hit the president where it hurt.
For Donald, this is debilitating. He will no longer be able to utilize Twitter to spread poisonous messaging. Hashtag, finally.
While supporters of the president, like former Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, tweeted that this was censorship of right-wing views.
If you're on the right, or not woke, or want to raise questions about the integrity of our electoral system, you're next.
And Donald Trump Jr. says it's a direct threat to free speech. In a series of tweets, he questioned why dictatorial regimes from around the world were allowed to have Twitter accounts despite threatening genocide, while the president of the United States was not.
We are living Orwell's 1984. Free speech no longer exists in America. It died with big tech, and what's left is only there for a chosen few. This is absolute insanity.
In a statement on its blog, Twitter said it was suspending the president's account on the grounds of public safety.
After close review of recent tweets from the real Donald Trump account and the context around them, we have permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further incitement of violence. Our public interest framework exists to enable the public to hear from elected officials and world leaders directly. It is built on a principle that the people have a right to hold power to account in the open. However, we made it clear going back years that these accounts are not above our rules and cannot use Twitter to incite violence.
But social media experts are saying they have no doubt that social media played a direct role in the insurrection in Washington, D.C. Imran Ahmed, the CEO for the Center for Countering Digital Hate, says social media's role was incalculable but significant.
What happened on Capitol Hill was the result of years of indifference by social media companies to hate running rampant on their platforms, to divisive actors being allowed to manipulate people using lies, to great big lies like the election was stolen being pushed out to tens and hundreds of millions of people.
He says because social media is part of our everyday lives, we seem to accept that it can be used for anti-social purposes. He says the insurrection went nowhere, but other hate crimes have succeeded.
This was a botched coup, but certainly acts of domestic terrorism that were inculcated, plotted, and then celebrated on social media platforms that we all use every day.
But the removal of Donald Trump from social media has provoked some disquiet among other world leaders. German Chancellor Angela Merkel considers President Trump's eviction from Twitter by the company problematic. A spokesman, Stefan Siebert, says the operators of social media platforms bear great responsibility for political communication not being poisoned by hatred, by lies, and by incitement to violence. But he added that freedom of opinion is fundamental.
The fundamental right to freedom of speech is a fundamental right of elementary significance. This fundamental right can be intervened in, but according to the law and within the framework defined by legislators. Not according to a decision by the management of social media platforms. Seen from this angle, the Chancellor considers it problematic that the accounts of the US president have now been permanently blocked.
Matt Shears is the president of the Computer and Communication Industry Association. He says, in fact, social media companies are exercising their own rights to freedom of speech if they take down the account of someone they view as violating their terms of service.
So, at the outset, the president of the United States is the last person in the world who could want for a platform. But recall that free speech isn't speech free from consequences. It means speech free from government consequences. And here it's a government speaker who is the actor. So when digital services take content offline that they regard as inciting violence and thereby violating their terms of service, they're exercising their own speech rights in saying, we don't want our users and the public at large to be affected by this content, which violates our policies and arguably the law.
Mr. Shears says if a person makes a commitment to abide by certain rules when they enter into a contract to use a service like Twitter, then the other party can decide that if that person has breached that commitment, they can terminate the service. President Trump has taken aim in the past at Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act, which protects companies that can host trillions of messages from being sued into oblivion by anyone who feels wronged by something that someone else has posted, whether their complaint is legitimate or not. Mr. Scheer says it's probably time to talk about how Section 230 works and how aggressively they should moderate the posts of their users.
There's no question that we're going to have a long conversation about how Section 230 and other policies enable digital services to mediate and moderate internet behavior and content. And there's no question that digital services have more work to do to ensure that their products safeguard the trust and safety of their users and the broader public. I think, unfortunately, some of this conversation is a disingenuous effort to work the refs to achieve parochial political goals. But there is a legitimate conversation to have about when and how aggressively services should moderate.
Mr. Scheer says the discussion on how digital services mediate and moderate internet behavior and content will continue under the administration of President-elect Joe Biden. Imran Ahmed from the Center for Countering Digital Hate warns it's not a problem that's going to go away.
We've not seen anything like this before, and the speed at which people can go down rabbit holes of radicalization is terrifying. So this is the stuff that we track every day. And I have researchers that have seen people go from being perfectly well-adjusted members of society into people willing to commit acts of extremism. We really have to do something about it. These spaces can't be tolerated, and they wouldn't any other place. No hotel, for example, would host a conference of people who are plotting to take guns down to the Capitol and invade it. I mean, of course they wouldn't. You don't let Nazis, you know, congregate in your hotel. You shouldn't be allowing them to congregate on your platform.
Alan Lee, SBS News.